Well, as we finish Hebrews 11 today, a question is raised. We all have an answer to it already, but what I'm asking is that we consciously answer that question and articulate it in our minds so you don't have to answer out loud. But here's the question. Who are your influencers? Now, some of you may be thinking, what do you mean? What's an influencer? Or you're aware of today's modern version of influencers, and you're thinking, I don't have social media, so I don't have any. But really, influencers are just another form of models, role models, peer leaders. I remember the somewhat small but controversy back in the day when all of a sudden pro athletes were being questioned as to their lifestyle, and one of them answered, I'm not a role model. Well, yes, you are. Because particularly for kids who like whatever sport you are really good at, they're looking to you and they're looking up to you. But an influencer is really a role model, an example that we look to for whatever reasons, usually because there's something that they do or something they have that we want. And I ask that question because we can look at Hebrews chapter 11 really as a list of influencers. And they are presented to the original Christians who got this letter and to us as just that. They are the ones that we should look to as role models, as examples, as influencers. And how they lived should influence us. Now, this doesn't mean they were perfect and everything they did is to be emulated, copied, or followed. But the mark of their lives, or what characterized their lives, even to their deathbed, as we saw last week, was that they continued on in faith. And in that aspect, or in that way, they're there to influence us. We have them here in Scripture, and to a certain degree, they are examples that we are to be like. But we're to be like them in that one critical way, that they lived a life of faith. They continued from whatever point they first believed, if you will. Abraham is an example. He was Abram, worshiping idols. The Lord said, walk. He walked. And from that moment forward, it wasn't a life of perfection. Remember the part where he lied about who his wife was to save his skin? It wasn't a life of perfection, but he continued to live and continued in other situations to trust God and his promises, even though he died never experiencing those promises. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the people of old received their commendation. So these examples in chapter 11 are being commended for having had faith, an enduring, ongoing faith, which is exactly what the author was calling the original Christians to at the end of chapter 10. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. The idea is ongoing, continual faith. The language has changed from hold fast and let us hold fast to Christ to the familiar concept of having faith. And then chapter 11 launches into a bit of a definition of what faith is, and then example after example after example of those who lived by faith. Even on their deathbed, they exhibited that they had faith. Regardless of what they suffered or went through in their life, they had faith. And chapter 11 ends with a bit of a mind-boggling reality and reminder. that they died having lived their life or lives trusting God to fulfill his promises before the Christ ever showed up. So we have much more than they had. The Messiah has come. He's yet to return, so we with them are still waiting. But what they had to work with to assure them that God would fulfill his promises is less than what we have. And now together we're still waiting for the completion and the final once for all fulfillment of God's promises. They didn't arrive at that full revelation and that complete fulfillment of God's promises because God had us in view. And now we're called to look to them as influencers, as examples, as encouragement to continue living a life of faith and not shrinking back, not letting go of Christ and turning to anything or anyone else. They needed that message. We need that message. The only thing that's changed as far as who our influencers are is the access that we have to them. They didn't have TV and magazines and radio. That's what I grew up with. That's where you found out about your influencers. Today, it's in our face on our phones. The amount of access we have has increased greatly. That would mean that we need the reminder even more so and more often. But we need it no differently than they needed it. And that's what's here in chapter 11. Again, I mentioned, often called the Hall of Faith, but it's presented in this context of Hebrews as examples to look to be spurred on and encouraged. I used last week the example of you're on a very difficult hike, and there's those along the side of the trail who have completed the hike saying, keep going. It's worth it. He's worth it. Don't look back. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. The thing is, they've completed the earthly hike, but they're actually still waiting too. Because God's plan for bringing about his promises include us and involve a second coming of the promised one, of the Messiah. So as we go through this and finish this chapter up, we get more examples. And so they are to be our influencers. We need to be honest with ourselves. Who are our influencers? This doesn't mean we can't have athletes or whatever that we admire for various reasons, but we need to guard our hearts and minds and remember that anything anyone accomplishes in this life is fleeting, right? Because this life is temporary. We also need to be careful about quantity. If I spend many hours during the week trying to find out what Kelly Slater is up to and what he's done and what he has to say and who he's dating and whether or not he's married and what his new surfboard line looks like and how about his clothing that he's created or whatever, but I don't have time to be in the Word of God or let the Word of Christ dwell richly in me, guess who my influencers are or is? Quantity matters. Repetition matters. And that's what we've had here in one chapter, a constant repetition, especially towards the end here, a barrage of examples for our good, that we would hold fast to the one who holds us fast, the one whom they look forward to, who we look backwards to and forward to, because together we're waiting for his return. And he will return because God is faithful. Join me in prayer. We'll read the last verses of this chapter. Father, thank you for this gentle, gracious reminder. First, to those original children of yours who though they suffered the loss of property and persecution and endured it with joy, were then tempted to give up on Christ. And you didn't give up on them. You didn't yell at them, belittle them, but you encouraged them with the truth of what has been provided for them, for us, in Christ and in Him alone. Thank you that your gentle exhortation to them has been preserved and is for us here today. As we finish up this chapter, Father, spur us on. Fix our hearts, our desires, our minds, and our thoughts more securely, fully, and firmly upon Christ. What we have in Him now, coming before You right now, Your very throne, and what is yet to come that will be permanent. Father, do not let us be distracted by sandcastles. Here today, gone with the rising tide. Father, I ask this because You are good and gracious. I ask this because I know it's for our good. And to Your praise, it is for Your glory as well. Father, please do not let this word go forth and return void, but do its work in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So pick up verse 29. I'm going to go 29 through 40, remembering what faith is. Assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen, believing that God created and that He rewards those who trust Him and seek Him. Verse 29, from individuals now we go to the Israelites at large. Verse 29, by faith, the people, it's a reference to the Israelites led by Moses, crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So here we continue on with these examples. The first example in verse 29 is an example of walking through danger, and that only by faith. What danger? They walked through the Red Sea. Now you think, oh, the danger was Pharaoh and his army. Well, it was. But there's a good chance, and they knew this, they could have turned around and said, okay, never mind, no harm, no foul, redo, we'll come back, we'll be your slaves again. We know this because some of them said it later on in the wilderness. We wish we were back in Egypt where the food tasted better. They could have just turned around and said, we surrender. Just kidding. They didn't. They walked through what was a raging river that overflowed the banks, but now there was dry ground. And they had to walk through that. And they did. So they're an example of faith, that by faith you walk through danger. Because the one who's in control and who has promised is bigger than the danger. It's bigger than what is ever at stake. Their lives were in danger. For us, it's more a matter of maybe jobs, maybe income, maybe relationships, and whether or not people will keep talking to us, or what's going to happen with family members. It's a danger of being uncomfortable or laughed at or ostracized or whatever. Yeah, how? How are we going to do that? By trusting that the one who has promised life everlasting in his presence through the resurrection of his son from the dead is bigger than that. And that reward of entering into his presence forever that has been sealed for the Christian now is of greater value. Remember Moses from last week? He didn't consider the fleeting pleasures of sin of more valuable than Christ. And so he endured mistreatment. That's how we do it. They did that. Now again, especially as a whole, were the people perfect? Were there lapses in faith? Absolutely. Does there seem to maybe be a lapse in faith or a wobbling, a wishy-washiness of faith for the original readers? Yeah, that's why they're getting this letter. And the exhortation is to keep going forward right through that danger. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Here's an example of being willing to look foolish. So what are you talking about? Well, think about it. The city that you want to conquer is walled in, and the men with their spears and arrows are up on top of that wall looking down at you. And what do you do when you arrive with this great army? You walk around in silence for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you walk around seven times. I mean, you could just hear the jeers coming from the top of the wall. Is that all you have to offer? What are you going to do, bore us to death? They were in danger too because, you know, they could get shot at with arrows and such, but they obeyed the Lord in what seemed foolish, probably to them also. Just walk around it? That's what you want? Yeah, walk around it. Just as Enoch walked with me and was no more, and I told Abraham to walk. Walk around it. I got you covered. They did. Are we willing to look foolish? It's hard, isn't it? They did it. Was it worth it? Yeah. Verse 31, Rahab, the prostitute. That's not an insult. That's a designation. She ends up in the genealogy of Jesus. Mother of Boaz. Ring a bell? Boaz, Ruth, granddad of David. David in line, Messiah. Yeah, this isn't an insult. This is a designation. That's what she was in Jericho. But when she had heard about what the Lord had done for his people and spies showed up, she welcomed them and hid them. And so she's here as an example of faith. An example of resisting the culture. Imagine the peer pressure there. Especially when they came banging on her door. But she believed that which was yet to be seen. And then she saw it. Another example of walking by faith. Verses 32 through 34 give us a whole bunch of examples. And for length of time, it's not even as long as it could be. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. What'd they do? Through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. David's a well-known example of that, right? The whole army's cowering because the enemy's got a really big guy named Goliath. David shows up. You're going to let him defy the living God? So he goes out with sling and stone, right? He's the last person you would imagine among all those warriors to go take on Goliath. But it wasn't him. It was the one in whom he trusted. But these are all examples here of those who relied on the Lord, who knew his strength in the midst of weakness, which is exactly how the Lord does things, so that we know it's him. A New Testament example, that would be Saul, who gets named Paul, who has written so many of those letters we have in the New Testament. The last person anyone would have guessed was going to be used mightily by the Lord. First and foremost, because he was persecuting the church. And then as he himself goes on to say, beset with weaknesses and trials, even had a thorn in his side to keep him humble. You want to see the power of God and know his strength in what he's called you to? I'm not referencing, let's see, signs and wonders. I mean, to walk in obedience to whatever he's called you to, then we rely on him. And these here are here as examples of that. Examples of faith. They're here to encourage us. Here specifically in Hebrews chapter 11, which should also influence us, pun intended, how we read the Old Testament. We can read the Old Testament this way, that those who were there in the Old Testament who had faith were banking on God's promises. They were saved by grace through faith just like us. And just like us, they're still waiting. But we have more than they had. And we'll get to that in a minute. In 35 through 38, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, not necessarily referring to the women themselves, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Look at that phrase, of whom the world was not worthy. Let's be honest, we keep being tempted to want to be accepted by the world. By a world that is passing away, that is corrupt and dark. Think of the current quote-unquote controversy over Diddy. Did I get his name right? Right? You don't know about that? Good for you. Doesn't surprise me at all. Not because I'm so smart. No, I'm actually not that smart. I just take God at his word. That you're either walking with the Lord and serving Christ, or you're a slave to your own sin and to Satan. And there's only one place that leads, darkness. Prior to that, didn't make as much splash in the ocean. But we had a Me Too movement among young men, or men who at one time were young, and how they were mistreated in Hollywood. And some of our favorite family-friendly shows are full of darkness behind the scenes and on the set. That's the world. And make no no mistake about it. We think they are the ones to be followed. Because we got presidential candidate after presidential candidate pulling them next to them as if like that should matter. Who cares what Billy Joe Bob has to say? I'm glad he's a great singer. Good for him. Quality actor. Wonderful. What about life? Those are our cultural influencers. It is the world on steroids. You pull back that curtain, there's nothing but darkness. Why do we want to be accepted by the world? They were strangers and aliens. Abram got the promise, gets called Abraham. He has to live in tents on the outskirts. That's what the word Hebrew means. It means someone who dwells on the outskirts, and their language got called Hebrew. That's us. But we're busy trying to have the same clothes as everyone else. We fit in and look just like them. We've even made the Sunday meeting of God's people a worldly endeavor in our culture. Hey, what does the world like? It likes Starbucks, so let's have a cafe. What does the world like? Rock music and a light show. Hey, let's even bring in dry ice so we can have smoke. That's all wrong. It's flipped. But before we point fingers, we better look in the mirror. We want to be accepted by this world. And like that 80s band, we want to make heaven a place on earth. But it's not. It's not. What did Paul tell Timothy? Anyone who's going to want to live a godly life, you will face persecution. You will suffer. You know, is it worth it? That's the question you have to answer every day. And these are examples of those who said, it's worth it. Keep going. And it's very clear from verse 35. That they weren't looking for their best life now. They knew the best was yet to come. And it involves something that doesn't make human sense, even though it's the longing of every human heart. Resurrection from the dead to never die again. And whether it was Elijah or Elisha or even Paul and Peter in the New Testament raising the dead or Jesus himself with Lazarus, they were a pointer to the fact that God can raise the dead, and it is exactly part of his plan, as he told Daniel, to raise the dead. The dead in the scripture were raised to life, then they had to die again because the resurrection is yet to come. And they were banking on it, even though they never saw or heard about the empty tomb. But we have. That doesn't mean we're not tempted to want to be loved and accepted by the world. Just as these Christians were. What do we need in that minute? A flick in the ear or a smack in the head like some dads like to do? No. A reminder that the resurrection is coming. That this is all temporary. And what's everlasting has been guaranteed by God. And it will be brought about. Look to those who are living with that goal in view. Let them encourage you and spur you on to do the same. These last few were examples of living for the resurrection life. And yet the Messiah had not yet come, let alone been marred beyond human recognition, crushed by the will of God, and then raised from the dead. Verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, Not even David and all the Israelites in the promised land. Not under David, not under Solomon. Remember earlier in Hebrews? There's a different rest God is referring to. If Joshua had brought them into that rest, it wouldn't say in the psalm that you can enter his rest. Let us enter his rest. And the call there is to hold fast to Christ alone. Enter into the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies, through faith in Christ. None of them received the fulfillment of the promises in the physical, tangible here and now. Why? Verse 40. Because God had and has something better in mind than just a land of their own or our own in this world. He has a perfect, complete plan. That's that word in the end. That they are going to experience. Remember earlier in this chapter? If they were looking for an earthly city, they could have went back home. But instead, by walking by faith, they declared that they were looking for a city whose founder is God himself. And that city is still coming. And they're still waiting for it. You say, what? They're still waiting? Aren't they in the presence of the Lord? Because be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Oh yeah, they're present with him. They're present with him who is outside of time, but of course God the Son has stepped into time. He's still incarnate. But in time, the new heavens and new earth are yet to come. The resurrection is yet to happen. So they're bodiless, though their souls or spirits are real and in the presence of God, and they're waiting. Remember those souls under the altar in Revelation? How long, O Lord? They're still waiting. Yet in their earthly life, they lived by faith right to their deathbed, even though they knew very little about the Messiah compared to what we have when you take all of the Old Testament. And they never saw him. We haven't seen him either. But we've heard about him because he has come. And he has laid down his life as that once and for all sacrifice, chapter 9. And now he has gone before us as a forerunner. He's blazed the way right into the eternal Holy of Holies in the very presence of God himself, where we are permanently fixed through faith in him. He's our soul anchor. We have so much more in terms of the playing out and fulfilling of God's promises than they had. But it's not all done yet. So we have to wait. And as we wait, there's this constant temptation to just want to be accepted by the world, to have things go easily. Because we don't want opposition. We don't want persecution. We don't want trouble. We don't want trials. We don't want uncomfortable clothing. Same temptation they faced. Same temptation the Christians who received this word were facing. We face it. And they are here. And we are here, particularly every Sunday morning, but as much as possible at other times, to be there for one another to say, keep going. Don't look back. Don't look left. Don't look right. The world promises you so much, but it's empty. But Christ guarantees what is the greatest. What is permanent? And so we are to be encouraged by these examples to look to the one they had a clear but vague understanding of, a promised one. But our view of him is that much clearer. But we're still waiting. and we're waiting together. They still live. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What do we have? Chapter 6. We have this, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember that guy? Earlier in Hebrews, way back there in the Old Testament, shows up and Abraham tithes to him. It's like little breadcrumbs along the way, so you know which way. Little signposts, little clues, little pointers, or incremental revelation on God's part. I've got a plan. And his son is the fulfillment of that plan. He's begun the fulfillment in his first coming. Now is the time for forgiveness. Now is the time for reconciliation to God. Now is the time to know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom he has sent, and to walk by the Spirit and not by flesh, not by our own earthly thinking, logic, or reasoning as we wait. That's what they did, yet without this knowledge. Chapter 10, closer to our chapter 11, verse 19, therefore, brothers, that includes sisters. Therefore, siblings, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's what they believed, yet had less to go on than what we have. How much more then should we continue without wavering? And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's the day when the Messiah will return and the resurrection will happen. We're waiting for that day. So are these Old Testament saints, waiting for that day. But we know about the beginning of that day. They look forward to it, wondering who, when. We now know who and when, as far as his first coming. As to the second, when, don't know. But it's going to happen. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And so chapter 11 is a list of examples of those who were faithful, and some of whom faced more than these original Christians or we are facing. Saul and two, yikes. But the call is the same. Continue in faith. He is worth it. And we need influencers. We need each other, chapter 10, to be influencers. And our Old Testament and our New Testament are full of examples of influencers that are good for us. And if you want more, there's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Pick it up. It's those who are not in Scripture, but Christians throughout history who faced death and even died, unwilling to deny that the Jesus guy from Nazareth is the Son of God, born of a virgin, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, that he was raised from the dead, seated at the Father's right hand, and he's going to return. They took Jesus at his word. Do not fear those who can take this life. And like these in the Old Testament, they were living for the resurrection life. We have influencers. Who are they? We need influencers that are going to spur us on to live for that which is everlasting. And God has provided them in that we have scripture here for us. Chapter 11 has turned our attention to some of them in the Old Testament. And he's called us to be that for one another. Because all that we see right now will come to an end. And what is to come will not. When Jesus returns, God's perfect plan will be complete. Now is the time of waiting. And even these Old Testament saints are waiting. Will we wait with them, walking by faith? Or will we follow the world? Join me in prayer. Father, I want to follow the world. It seems so fun. And it would be much easier. Yet it's the way of death. Even in this life, we're surrounded by examples of that. Diseases that exist and spread solely because of rejecting you and your will and your ways. Harm, great harm to women and children in the name of Hollywood pleasure. Father, even though the death that is there in it is visible, the temptation is real. Thank you for your gentle word, pointing us to examples of those who lived knowing that this life is fleeting, that the resurrection is coming, that an eternal city is to be established in the new heavens and the new earth. Father, have mercy upon each one of us, young and old, boy and girl, that we would believe and not shrink back, but continue in faith in Christ alone. Father, may he be our rock, our anchor, our joy and our delight. Though we do not see him, Father, work in our hearts to love him, rejoicing with a joy that is inexpressible and glorious as we await the return of our Savior from heaven, wherein our eternal citizenship lies. Father, grab our hands. Draw us ever nearer to you. Lead us in your ways and let us not walk in our own. May we live for Christ because he died for us. Not begrudging whatever goes on, but joyfully looking forward to his return. Because he's worth it. There's nothing that compares to knowing him. Father, may that be our conviction, and all the more each day, for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.